Good evening, everyone. Thank you for being here. This is the 20th of December, 2017. And this is the Courtroom Observer's Call. Now, I want to make an announcement first off, is after tonight, through the holidays, we won't have a call. Our next call will be on the 10th of January, 2018. And tonight, I have a little more information on the trial out in Nevada. They did have court today. The jury was there. However, they sent the jury home, and the judge spent some time talking about all the wrongdoings of the prosecutors, the BLM, the FBI, and everyone. And she stated that at this time there's no way that there could be a fair trial held. And she declared a mistrial, but she did not say whether it was with or without prejudice. Now, she has ordered the prosecution to get together with the defense and ensure that all evidence, all information is out, and she wants it put out to the public. So it will be in the newspapers. I'm not sure which ones. Nevada newspaper, you know, the Las Vegas paper, I don't know the name of it, but I'm sure that it will be there. And I kind of believe it'll be published by Redoubt News, which is alternative news, with Sherry DelVale. And she's on, she publishes on Facebook so that people on Facebook know about it. So those of you that have Facebook, you'll find information there. But the next, since it was declared a mistrial, the next action, if there's going to be another trial, it will start the 8th of February. So nothing will happen until the 8th of February as far as court. I'm sure the information put out by prosecution and defense will be in the papers before then, but nothing court-wise. There will be more motions, and I'm quite sure there'll be a motion to go ahead and dismiss the charges totally. I mean, there's no sense in drawing it out. They're going to have to make sure that they have the finances. You know, the DOJ will need to approve finances. Yeah. So I really don't think it's going to happen. But the door has been left open. I just don't think there's going to be, because of the information put out by the whistleblower. I don't see how they can hold. And the thing is, you know, they were trying to take the Bundy cattle off that land claimed that he wasn't paying grazing fees. However, in the state of Nevada, the whole state is open grazing. In other words, the ranchers don't need to put up a fence. If somebody doesn't want cattle on their land, then it's up to them to fence that land off to keep the cattle out. Also, common law and the laws of the nation is that since the Bundys have been on that land ranching as long as they have, they in fact own that land because they improved the water rights and improved the property in many ways. And so they really do own that land. There's nothing that the BLM or the federal government can do about it. These are reasons why I say the trial won't happen. It will be dismissed. I mean, that's my take on it. So that's where we stand with that trial now. Any comments?
Yeah, comment.
Okay.
You mentioned land a lot, and I know what you're talking about. We go into fiction if we say we're a man. I believe Jesus was a man. And on the land, and how that goes into fiction. I don't believe there's any fiction with man.
You're really confused.
Right.
I'm talking about land because it is land. It's property. It's land that the Bundys have been raising cattle on since the 1800s. It is. You know, it has nothing to do with man on the land stuff. I mean, property is land. Land is property. And the law says that they own it. Common law.
Well, I'm not talking about any fiction when I'm saying
no.
Man on the land. That's just basics, right?
Well, even just saying man on the land, you're talking fiction.
No. Okay, to be clear, say a nonfiction man on the land. A Bible, in the Bible, you know, the basic words.
Well.
Basic. Common. Natural.
Common law.
Natural law.
Common law. Common law is natural law, God's law, and it's spoken in plain, understandable English. There is no mincing of words. There's no alternate meanings.
People is political. Isn't that more correct? People political, where man is spiritual?
No. Why
people's
would it be?
Not political?
Not everybody's
what
political.
What I studied, well, that's different. That's not what I'm saying. Political, people, political, politics, where man is spiritual, more basic, the basics, natural, as in natural law.
The political man is spiritual also. Or at least most of them.
A political man is not a natural man. That's different. Natural man, non-fictitious natural man on land, having property, protect from trespass. Anyways, I'll let someone else try to...
I hope so, because I'm not going to sit here and argue over that point all night long. This is ridiculous.
Well, we're not arguing. I mean, we're here to learn, right?
Right, but...
I'm not arguing. I come in peace. I'm not at war. I'm.
Well, I'm not either.
With all due respect, sir.
You've been studying this man on the land stuff for so long that, you know, it's just
you're putting words.
In you.
How are you saying that? Do you have any firsthand knowledge of that? I don't understand you.
Well, how many other people do you hear using the same language that you're using?
People? Say people. Well, there's a lot of people that, but men, non-fictitious men is what I'm talking about.
This is exactly what I'm talking about. Would somebody else like to pop in and explain everything? I'm just an average man that doesn't get involved with all of this, all these word games.
I thought you were a political people or a citizen or something else besides a man.
I'm a citizen. I'm a man.
A slave. Is that not right?
No, I'm not a slave.
A citizen? You're a citizen, you said. And the other guy that has this show says he's a taxpayer. Well, is it a voluntary taxpayer or is he a forced taxpayer? There's differences in all this with rights. It's all about rights, isn't it? Rights,
you know,
contract.
What?
Contract is law. I'm listening. I'm here to learn.
No, you're here being as a troll, and we're not going to continue this conversation. I've muted you because we're not going to continue it. I see you as a troll, nothing more. All right, folks, if there's anything that you have to say, if you have some comments, let's talk about this case. Let's talk about the Constitution. Let's talk about the, you know, things that for courtroom observers. But let's not get into the word games. I don't study the word games because they don't exist in my mind.
Well, Robert, hi, it's Jan from Kansas.
Yes.
And I appreciate your lead in there to the Bundys and what all's going on out there. It's really getting interesting because this Mr. Wooten, you know, and whoever else, I guess there are more whistleblowers. But
Mr. Wooten is the main one.
Yeah, it looks like the can of worms has been opened, and they're all squiggling out.
Yes, they're just gushing out.
And the thing is that what I'm finding comical, it's not funny. I mean, it's just tragic what they've done to these poor people, you know, the Bundys and the others.
Right.
It's almost comical, if it wasn't so horrific, is that watching the finger-pointing start now. You know, it's like, is Ms. Navarro trying to tell the public that she didn't know about all this? I'm getting that she's trying to act like she was not apprised of the snipers and, you know, the things that Mr. Bundy and the boys had been saying for, what, 2.5 or 3 years?
Yeah, well, they've been saying it, and she, I'm sure, has heard that there were snipers, but she was I believe that she really was in the dark about a lot of it. I think she took the word of the prosecutors when they told her there were no snipers, there were no cameras, there were no this, no that. I think she took their word because she thought they were honorable people.
Well, and, you know, I wonder about that because somebody had to suppress that evidence. I know that some of the discovery, I mean, this is a question to anybody out there that thinks it's important and wants to answer, if anyone. But that was my question because it seemed to me like that she's the one who had to suppress the evidence to get it not entered into evidence in the court. So I'm finding it hard to believe that she didn't know.
You're right. She did suppress it because she had not seen the prosecutors had suppressed the evidence so as not to put it in the hands of the defense. And so she had not seen any of that. All she had was word from the defendants, and she had word from the prosecutors that it was all lies. And so I find fault with her for having the defendants guilty before they were even had court.
Right. Yeah. And like this evidence, this is another question. I mean, this is just details. It's not really, it's important to me, but I think just because we're trying to figure out, all of us probably that are on this call are trying to figure out how to run a court the right way, but that evidence that was suppressed, hasn't that tried to be entered into the other trials, and they suppressed it from the other trials too? Maybe I'm getting the wrong information, but I'm hearing
I do believe that you're right, that it will affect the first two trials that were in Portland, and that once this is all dismissed, there's going to be more action on those other trials, yes. I believe that everybody, any of them that were found guilty and placed in prison will be released. That is my belief. Now, she did lay out there being, you know, last week I talked about 7 violations.
Mm-hmm.
Today she laid out 8 of them.
Yeah, and I find that really weird, too, that a judge would let 7 suppressions of evidence surface before she would, like, try to, you know, do a mistrial or something.
Right.
I just think that she's, I guess, in my mind at this point, I think that she's as culpable as the prosecutors because I think that she had access to all of the discovery, that 3,300 pages that John Lamb was talking about. I think she had access to all that. And you know, the suppression of the evidence from the public, they just said tonight that she has said that all of the evidence now has to be turned to the public and just the names to protect people would be redacted. But she's the one who suppressed all that evidence from the public, too. So I don't know. I'm just watching this really with my eyes wide open, trying to figure out what she knew and, you know, when it should have been shut down. So thank you for letting me ask the questions.
She is culpable, being the judge. And when you read between the lines and start connecting the dots of everything happening, we believe that somebody has had a talk with her. Somebody has sat her down and made her aware of how big of a fool she's being or has been made of, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, if she didn't know about it, then they were suppressing the evidence from her so that she didn't know about it.
Right.
And she was taking their word over the defense. And so that makes her guilty of, I don't know what it would be, but it would be improper procedures.
Yeah.
And under common law, they can't suppress any evidence.
Mm-hmm.
A person has the right to bring out all the evidence they have. Now, even the laws that are on the books now, the Brady violations, defense knew about most of that. But they didn't have the proof of all of it. And the prosecution was withholding all that proof. And so, you know, it's just it's a sad situation all the way around. Prosecutors should be mainly interested in justice.
Right.
Not guilty verdicts. They should be, their focus has to be on a fair trial and justice. And so they've proven that that they would do anything just to get a conviction.
Mm-hmm.
And so I believe that what we're going to see, and the word did come out that Mr. Meyer, the DA, was actually out at the Bundy Ranch during that standoff.
Right.
And therefore, he had firsthand knowledge that the Bundys did nothing wrong. And so he's withholding that, and he's lying. Every time he opens his mouth, he's been lying.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I do believe that there will be charges filed against the prosecutors and Mr. Meyer.
Mm-hmm.
And the judge is practicing CYA.
Yeah.
she's hoping to escape any damage personally. But I believe she's going to go down too.
Yeah. Thank you, Robert.
I mean, that's how could it be any otherwise? After what's all come out now. And if they can't have a fair trial now, they never will be able to have a fair trial. In my book.
Yeah, I agree. Thank you.
Yep. I'm glad you're paying attention to that trial. It's probably going to go down as one of the biggest ones in U.S. history.
Robert, I agree. I think that it's a microcosm of the macrocosm of our courts. I think
Yes.
if we look at what's going on with that trial and from start to finish, it's going to tie into all the fraud with the mortgages. I mean, the pattern. I'm talking about if we look
yeah.
at the pattern of lying and derivatives and of making up, constructing fraud against innocent people without batting an eye, going home and going to bed and go to sleep and then get up and do it again the next day for years and decades without these people even having a blip on their conscience. I think this is, I mean, when we get to the end of it, which it'll probably take like years, 2 or 3 years anyway, for it to roll out to where we see the fullness of the fraud and how many people are involved in it, in doing it knowingly. I mean, it just kind of blows me away.
Well, but, it's obvious to me anyway, knowing what I know, that these prosecutors are a part of the deep state. And deep state is Khazarian mafia. And what I know right now is last weekend the president had a meeting with all the Joint Chiefs of Staff. He has 10,000 sealed warrants for the arrest of these people. And they're sending out, they're deploying 44,000 troops with these 10,000 warrants to round up the Khazarian mafia worldwide. So we're going to see some changes happen here shortly. You know, we're going to get rid of the corruption. Yes.
Can you tell me, give me an article or something that I can look up online to read about that? Some source.
Well, YouTube and QAnon and
QAnon
and
how do you spell that? X,
the letter Q.
Yeah.
And A-N-O-N.
A-N-O-N.
Yeah. And
okay.
Also the Next News.
Next News.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Yep. And there's an awful lot going on right now. There's also things going on that are just distractions from other things happening. Like yesterday morning was a horrific train derailment accident near Seattle. And today now, getting word from various different people that it may very well have been purposely done as a distraction for something. What that something is, I don't know yet. But time will tell. I'll keep looking. I'll keep looking for whatever's happening.
Yeah, and also that Chicago commissioner saying that he was calling in the UN to help with the crime in Chicago, and there was, I can't name it, but there was something online that told which countries were sending, they already had this planned out, which countries were sending people in, and who was leading them and what they were going to do, and they were supposed to be there 6 months. I mean, this has been planned out, it sounds like, for quite
a
while.
That's somebody's dream that will happen. First off, they would have to hold a Security Council meeting of all the voting members, and Trump would obviously vote that down.
Well, I was bringing that up as another example of distractions.
Well, it's it probably is. It probably is, because it's that word has gotten out to, well, nationwide. I'm hearing it from a lot of different people, and so many people are believing it. But you know, they just don't know that the UN can do nothing without a vote of the Security Council. And the voting members, any of them, can nullify it. And so Trump would certainly vote it down. He doesn't want the UN on our soil, and none of us do. But there are people on Facebook today that are trying to explain it and inform people that it can't happen and that it has not happened. I was told that it had already happened, but it hasn't. It would be an act of war if it did. And knowing it's Chicago, the commissioners, you got to know they're Obama followers and and deep state. And so it wouldn't be, in my mind, it would not be because of the shootings and everything going on there. It would be as a defense from the good guys, the white hats, the military intelligence. And that's why I say it would be an act of war.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and just to tell people what they're saying about it, if they haven't heard, is they're saying that they can do that. This is what they're putting out there, is that they can do that because they're part of that Strong Cities initiative through the UN and Agenda 21. So that's the basis upon which they are saying that they could do that.
Yeah, well, they can't.
Right, I agree.
So I'm glad you brought that up because we need to get that word out to as many people as possible that it's not going to happen, that it can't happen. There's nothing legal about it. Not without a Security Council approval. Do we have more? Well, once again, folks, we won't have any calls the next couple of weeks. I'm leaving on the 26th, next Tuesday, and I won't be back until 7th or 8th. And so our next call will be on the 10th of January. And all the committee calls are being shut down. There'll be no Monday night calls for a couple of weeks either. John is canceled them because they fall on Christmas and New Year's. And so no sense in having the Monday night call. And,
Jim in New Mexico, Robert, that's good to have some time because I need to think about, am I a man or am I a tree? Am I a rock?
Don't go.
Am I a citizen?
Let me go, okay?
Maybe I can figure that out in 2 weeks.
Yeah. Well, I hope you figure it out, Jim.
I think I already have. I just wish you would quit interrupting with the, it's like a hallucination talking.
Yep.
We actually discussed a month ago if he'd been actually wanting to listen and learn. We discussed in the Constitution about the wording that a citizen is a real word and we are citizens. And look right here, they speak of it in the writing of the Constitution ended that argument. So
well, that's why I called him a troll.
He's
just there to cause, instigate problems.
Well, I recall he apparently got ticketed and arrested or something, so he's hurting about that and looking for answers.
Well, you know.
But you can't be a victim. If you act like a victim, this is going to continue. You got to actually.
Yep. And if he had an issue, I've not heard it. He hasn't brought it up. Or at least I don't remember him bringing it up. And I'm sorry to have to mute somebody like that. But, you know, I just, we got more important things to talk about. We can't just keep going rehashing everything.
I agree.
So, you know, I figure he has redeeming values, but he needs to listen to what we tell him. So, you know, we all have to live our lives the way we see fit, so long as it doesn't infringe on others' rights. And I want him to live the way that makes him happy, so long as he is doing it without infringing on others. You know, we all need to live our lives the way we feel is necessary to be happy. And so, hopefully, with what's going on in this country, we will get back to that. What I'm afraid of is that people have forgotten what it's really like to be free. I mean, most of the younger people have never been free in this country. They've thought they were free, but they really haven't been. You know, they've been under so many laws and regulations, rules that controls their behavior. And so they've never lived in a society where, you know, they live by their own rules so long as they're not harming anyone. They've never had that opportunity. And so that's going to be very hard for people to get used to, I think. But that's what we're going back to. So
I've heard that it's psychologically difficult to actually experience living freely after you haven't.
Well, it's got to be. People have become used to relying on others to tell them what to do and how to live and what they've got to do and what they can't do. And so they've got to start thinking for themselves. And because of the way that, you know, they've cut so much out of the school, the education programs and everything, they've, you know, changing the histories, and it's going to be very difficult. So,
by the way, wasn't Judge Navarro in the beginning saying there's not going to be any constitution in my court?
Yep.
So
she was.
All this defending her credibility is she actually was warring against the Constitution. She actually was in dishonor in the court.
Right, right. And I only protect her in as much as the prosecution lied to her as much as they lied to defense.
But a judge saying no constitution in my court is unconstitutional, and therefore she's not qualified to be a judge.
That's right.
She disqualified herself. That's all fraud on the court. They're blocking justice from happening, and fraud on the court is a disqualification of yourself as a
Absolutely.
Prosecutor or as a judge, any official.
Right.
And there's another charge, too. It's fraud upon the court, and there's another one, fraud by the court.
Yeah, fraud on the court or fraud in the court. In the court is conspiracy, where they're working together. They're going, hey, we want to suppress this evidence. We want to get this guy. Whereas fraud on the court is where we say, we're not going to have constitution in this court. We're going to do it the way we want to do it.
Well, she was committing fraud, and she was cooperating with the prosecution.
But then
when she found out that she'd been lied to so much also, and then she went into the CYA mode. She realized how much trouble she was in. And I do believe that maybe the DOJ had a word with her. Because there was a very definite turning point where she was made to realize how much trouble she was in.
And there are those two really great videos. I can't remember the title of them right now. But one of them is Jeff Sessions. I believe he's talking to the Federalist Society, which is the Society of Attorneys, if I've got that right. And then the other one is a longer one where Jeff Sessions is telling the judges that they need to start paying attention to the Constitution, which has been brought up. I think Jim brought that up, you know, about 3 weeks, or somebody, maybe Val.
I was looking for that.
It's there.
So I need to locate that yet. And NLA wants to make use of it.
Yeah, that's a good one.
And it's so difficult to know the whole truth. But we're learning more and more of the truth every day there's something happening, and we're able to connect more dots, and we're getting a line drawn that's laying out the truth of what's happening. And Trump is knowing all these things since before he even ran for president. The military intelligence sat him down and laid everything out to him and convinced him to run for president in hopes that he'd be elected. They took the chance that he would be. And they laid out all the issues to him. And so for the first year of his presidency, he's been carrying out a plan to draw everyone out of the woodwork so that they would have a full list of all the main players of deep state. And now that they've got the arrest warrants out there, kind of indicates to me that they have the full list, and they are ready to round them up. And I'm told that the trial, the election in Alabama, they knew before it even happened that there would be a lot of fraud. And so they expected it, and that was also the signal to begin the roundup of the deep state and the Khazarian mafia. And as far as what I'm hearing is on the Alabama election is that in one district there were 26,000 votes for Jones. Trouble is, there's only 1,100 people living in that district. And started digging, they found that people have been bused in from three other states and registered as new voters. They voted and then went back home. And so all of them votes have been thrown out. Certification of the election has been held up until such time as a recount can be done, completed. And there were three election volunteers charged with fraud so far in one district. So I don't know how many more they'll find, but they're digging. But Roy Moore only lost by like 1%. How many votes can that be? And they've already thrown out over 3,000 votes. And
they had over 1,000 military votes yet, too. And
came in.
Yeah.
And it sounded like most of them were for Roy Moore. So, you know, things are getting exciting. I mean, there's so much happening. And every day, 7 days a week, there are things happening. So, and a lot of what's happening are distractions. It's hard to even tell what is a distraction and what isn't anymore. But the one thing I am seeing is people seem to be smiling more, like they know something's happening, something good is happening. I see them out spending money. The stores are crowded with people. Evidently, people are becoming confident in the economy. It's good to see. Now we need to we can't let up. We have to keep going and rid ourselves of all the corruption. The more committees of safety that we have, the faster we can accomplish that. I just got another message from Next News. It says Limbaugh received an email about Mueller's Trump plans. So after the call, I'll be checking that one out. Does anybody got anything else? Okay, I think we'll go ahead and close her down for the holidays. I wish each and every one of you a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Same thing to you, partner.
And God bless all of you. Thank you for being here. We will, together, united, we will succeed.
God bless. Merry Christmas, Jim.
Yeah, Merry Christmas.